Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Folks, I am coming at you from Fort Lauderdale, and it is still very nice and toasty here. I feel so, so lucky to be in such a wonderful place. Okay, enough of that. So we are here with another episode of Podnuts Pro. And folks, a little bit later, I am going to be interviewing somebody who I think you're really going to enjoy. He is another podcaster in the community and has done some pretty good things. I think you're going to enjoy it. His name is Paul Joyner from the SysAdmin Today show. Before I go on, Paul, how are you doing?
Doing well, Marvin. Happy Thanksgiving. Before I forget to say that,
Thanksgiving to you as well. And how's your weather?
Glad to be here.
How's your weather?
Not too well. A little chilly. Oh, not quite as because I live in Virginia Beach, so a little further north. I'm around the 50-degree weather, so not quite the 70s. Much yeah, envious.
I see that t-shirt and long sleeve shirt, and I hope. I think I'm going to be able to get through this entire year without having to pull out the long sleeve. I think so. I'm trying to remember if I had it out in January, but we're doing pretty good, looking pretty good.
Nice.
But, all right. So, Paul, before we get going, I want to take a little bit of time and just take care of some old business as this part of the meeting. So, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to say thank you, first of all, because I mentioned in the last couple of shows that I wanted you to support Podnuts Pro by clicking on some of the links that I had put in the show notes to some of the things that we talked about with the Amazon link. And some of you have done that. And I actually saw a little bit of pennies coming through. So that will help. I appreciate that. So I did want to say thank you to everyone. I do want to thank you all for continuing to listen, download, subscribe to the show, and please keep telling everybody else that we've got a pretty good thing here going and would like to keep it going for at least another year and see how that goes. I also want to say thank you when 2 weeks ago, two shows ago, when I had Elizabeth Lamb on, she brought up this whole little freaky little thing about Facebook listening. And I was like, shut the front door. And I have to say thank you to Lorenzo, who actually sent me an email from Australia and sent me a link to a show that actually had just happened talking about Facebook listening. So I have to publicly acknowledge that Miss Lamb was correct. Facebook does listen. And I did prove it to her because, as many of you know, I just recently got my LinkRunner G2. And one of the things that happened on the G2 when I first turned it on is it popped up this big freaking stinking Facebook ad to log in. And I'm like, what? Unbelievable. So, yeah, Facebook is listening to me and I'm sick of it, but I digress. So anyway, Paul, I know that you've listened to a few of the shows here. Did you hear about the Facebook listening and what do you think about that?
Well, it's just more of the same. Our privacy is, well, I don't think that we have privacy anymore. It's just today's way of thinking. It's just hard to. Like my wife, she refuses to buy any of the, whether it's Google or Amazon, whoever the, I ain't gonna say the name, but where you talk into and it voice commands, and she's scared to death of them. And so it's just more of the same. Personally, I don't like it. This is not my cup of tea, but some people, they don't care.
Well, a lot of people are of the mindset that, you know, they already have our information. I mean, for crying out loud, they can get into our bank accounts at just about any freaking time. So that's worse than, you know, knowing whether or not I use Cottonelle or Charmin as, toilet paper. So there's a lot of stuff that's out there. I too am one of the people that I don't buy a lot of home automation stuff. I don't want that voice activated stuff. I don't want to know that somebody can walk in and say lights on, lights off, or anything like that. I don't want my fridge talking to the internet.
Oh man, that's just it's going to be interesting to fast forward and say like 40 more years what the modern home is going to look like. Our older homes have been retrofitted with new tech. And is it going to be more of like, do we still have a choice or do we have to use that? Meaning, can we buy appliances that don't have smart technology built into it? And it's going to be interesting. That's for sure.
I don't think there will be a choice. I mean,
I don't think so either.
We're already dictated as to, you know, digital cable. You know, think about how in the last 10 to 15 years, I mean, you look like a pretty young guy. I'm not. You know, we used to have phone bills that were like $10 a month, you know, that are now 30 and 40 because of all these features. We used to have TV bills. You know, I remember the first time I paid $50 a month for my TV, I was outraged. And now it's almost $300 a month because they won't give you any other choice.
I remember getting a phone bill. Well, I don't mind telling my age. I just had a birthday a few days ago. I literally just turned 40. So it's kind of, I'm in that mindset. But I remember my parents would get a phone bill as a bill, but then they would have a separate company that did long distance.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And I remember my dad yelling at my brother, my sister. I'm the youngest of three. So that's puts in more perspective my age. But, and my dad's like, who'd you call for so-and-so been on the phone with 30 minutes? So-and-so. I mean, he would just go off. And that cost me $12 or something like that. And, but it's just a different, just different times.
Oh, I remember those, those separate bills. And it was such a big deal when Ma Bell got broken up. Mm-hmm. And then you could actually, you know, purchase from a long distance company, you know, out of state.
Yeah.
You know, LDI, you know, it was whatever the name of that company was that I got. And I could, you know, get long distance for, you know, 6 cents a minute.
Yeah. Remember, was it called Ma Bell? You know, what back in the day?
Yeah.
Jeez. But,
all right. Well, boy, that was a
memory lane.
That was a rabbit hole already.
Told you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, so Paul had reached out to me, I don't know, about a month ago. And
about that.
I don't know what it was in the show that triggered you to say, hey, I need to reach out. But apparently that's happened a couple of times in the Podnets Pro show.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it was just a thank you. It wasn't nothing in particular. It's one of those things where I've been listening for probably almost 2 years now, Marvin, year and a half at least. And I just wanted just to send out this quick thank you. Say, hey, I know the hard work it takes to do this, to be consistent and to have quality content. It's a service to the community. And it was just, hey, just basically just saying thank you. And thank you for your service. It was, it's a good resource. It really is.
Well, I have to turn the tables and say that you, as well as being a podcaster, have done pretty good things. And now you're coming up in a couple of months on doing this for 2 years.
I know. February 24th to be exact. No, 17th. I'm sorry. 24th is another date. February 17th is will be my two-year anniversary for doing this. And honestly, it seems like a few months ago I started it, and it's Father Time, and he goes by quick. Yeah. And, but it's been a lot of fun. I've met a ton of great people, and it's been a blast. And I've learned a lot about podcasting and audio. Matter of fact, we were talking, and you're like, hey, I use this and this. I'm like, really? Let me type that in here. So we'll go review it here in a little while. But it's been a great mental project for me, just to kind of break away from the norm. Even though I'm still in tech, it's just a different mindset in tech.
Right.
And it's been great. I've been really enjoying it.
Well, let's go back a little bit and get a little bit of perspective on first, what got you into tech, and kind of go through the progression as to how you started the podcast. So let's first go back, and you're a veteran. You've been in this business, you know, almost 20 years, I believe.
Yep. Since 1999 was my first systems administration job.
All right.
And I take that back. I wasn't a system administrator. I was a system technician, I think I was.
The word system in it. It must have been good.
Well, it got my foot in the door. It was with a large bank, a large community bank. Unfortunately, they don't exist anymore. Just like any community bank, they just get gobbled up through mergers. Community banks is almost the way of the dodo bird. It's just, they're going away, I think. Any good ones, that is. But I got my foot in the door. Basically, I was just a tech. I was still in college. It was like an internship. But that's where I just, created accounts and wasn't called Active Directory back then. It was back in NT, back in the NT days. Mm-hmm. And I was, we didn't really have the luxury of remote access like we do nowadays. I think that the stuff we take for granted, we didn't have that luxury. We had PC Anywhere way back when, but that was only on not even all the servers. That was only on certain servers.
Right.
So if a site went down and if it was 2-hour drive, you packed up and you drove.
Yep.
And that's what I did. And I learned a lot, made a lot of good contacts and it kind of spun from there. Looking back on it, it's been a journey for sure. Right.
Yeah. I remember those days. I myself actually meddled with NT a little bit. And I remember installing an NT server with GroupWise.
Oh, wow.
And I remember instead of going home, normally today I would, prep the server here at the office. I'll deliver it to the client. I might be on site 2 hours to set it up, connect it to the domain, do whatever. Then I'll come back and do the rest either from my office or my house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back then, everything had to be done there. So literally my client at that time, luckily had a couch in the room around the corner. So, my buddy and I, we went in, did the install. He would work for a while. I'd go take a nap. And then it was my turn to get up that was fun.
Yeah, I remember vividly in the early days, the early 2000s, late 90s, where you're absolutely right. When you had to do something, you worked around the clock. I remember working almost 36 hours straight, working on gear, getting stuff put in, because you didn't have remote access. Nope. You just didn't, even internet back then was a luxury. Everything was dial up out. If you had a T1 back in those days, you were just, God level.
That was for the big companies. I mean, for us, we had the dial up that we pretty much only used for the BBS community boards.
Wow.
That was it.
Even back in 1999 with the bank, we didn't have actual internet. The only internet we had was a dial up, was a computer that ran Symantec endpoint protection, and that would dial up, connect to Symantec servers, download the virus or the updates, shut itself off, and then the agents would connect to that workstation to get the updates. That was it. And that was 1999. I'll never forget that. Because that computer broke shortly after I was hired and I had to work on it.
Good times. Right. So you started out doing that, and like everybody else, progressed through the ranks.
So once after my internship, I did that. Like I said, talking about community banks, the community bank got bought out by a larger conglomerate. And essentially all their IT stuff was in a different part of the state. I was still in college. So I left there, obviously, in good terms with a lot of the people. And then I finished up college, and then I got my first systems administrator job with a large food distributor company. And I was real lucky there, Marvin, because that was in 01, because I just got married. I got married in 01. And when Server 2000, was barely out 2 months. And this company already invested in Windows Server 2000 for everything. Of course, as you know, that's when Active Directory brought in, DNS, you know, got off the winds and all that good stuff. And so I came into that situation. I learned a massive amount of stuff. And I was there for about a good 5 years. And I remember they had salespeople outside. And so they had to dial in to get to transmit their orders for the day. So they're going to people's restaurants and buildings and getting their orders, and they had to transfer it in. And so we had a rack of, do you remember the US Robotics external modems?
Oh, yes.
With a little,
Wait a minute. Are we talking about the 14.4, or were you guys really special and got the 28.8s?
No, we had the 28.8s. Mostly were 28.8s when we replaced them towards, I was getting a little bit, few years in, we got the 56Ks. When I was there, it was all 28.8s. But it was like a whole rack. We probably had like a shelf full. I would say we probably had like maybe 15 to 20 of them. Mm-hmm. And because what happens is, because they had to get those orders in before 5 o'clock. And so those things would just go crazy. People dialing in. So you had all the external connections. And that, you were so nervous because you just knew like one of those motives, something's going to happen. But for the most part, it was pretty solid.
I remember that as well. My wife had to do that when she was working at, when she first moved to Florida, she was a manager. And I remember the big rush at the end of the night was to get your numbers done so you can modem in your stuff. Because basically, I don't know how many they had, but you would call and you'd get busy signals.
Yes.
And you just sat there all hitting redial until you got through.
I remember that was so key to the business, that we had a backup server and we had those Digi cards. And Marvin, I mean, I know you can see, the listeners can't see it, but the Digi card was huge.
Yeah.
It made the modern graphics card look like a wimp. That thing was ginormous. And we actually had a dual cards in a duplex setting, and then we had a complete mirrored server. You had virtualization back then, so you had another physical server that had the same setup, because if something happened, we literally could just unplug those cables, plug them into the other one, and like, all right, get your orders in. But that was crazy. It all ran on Windows, you know, routing and remote access server. And
then it was RAS. Solid. Good old RAS.
Yeah. Still used a lot today, actually.
Yeah.
I see it used a lot today anyway. But so I was there for a while. I learned, like I said, learned a ton about that level of Windows 2000. And then once, after about my 5 years, my old boss from the bank called me up, because they had another bank that was doing a startup, to say, hey, we could use you again. Would you willing to do it? And I remember I turned it down a couple of times, but he was real persistent. I said, well, I'm not growing anymore where I'm at. I've kind of reached my peak. And so I said, this will be a good new challenge. So I went to there, basically same thing, just went there. I was quote unquote the security officer, because I was part of the security on top of the physical security, but also all the servers and workstations and network infrastructure. I was in charge of all that too. And then that went really well. And then to the point where one of the consultants that I worked with at the bank, we got along really well. And they say, you know, a company was formed where I've been for going on 11 years now, where we do consulting, similar, like, you know, we're talking, we do very, very similar business models. And so, yeah, we're the, you know, it's been great. It's been very, very fortunate.
All right. So you do a lot of what I do, and going out doing the network support and trying to think of the nice way to say assisting companies that have juniors on staff.
we call ourselves the IT's IT.
Yeah.
That's probably the easiest way to put it, because we have a lot of that. We have companies that have personnel on site. They do a lot of the little simple day to day, and if they get stuck in a rut, you know, they'll give us a call.
Right.
Matter of fact, I had 3 or 4 of those today myself personally, just today alone.
All right. So, gone through the years, built up the business, and thought, hey, I'm going to start a podcast.
I did. And well, Marvin, I'm a big sports fan. And so I never listened to podcasts. I always listened to sports radio. And I just, what I enjoy. And again, just something different mindset, because I have a long commute. I have about a 45 to an hour commute, depending on traffic here and back. And then all of a sudden something told me, I don't know why, just something came to me and said, why am I not listening to podcasts? I think I was in iTunes. I just saw a ton of podcasts. I'm like, oh, what kind of tech podcasts are out there? And I think the first one I saw was a Podnuts one. It wasn't yours. It was somebody else. It might've been Jeff's, the one he did where he interviewed people, the one he's doing now, but the one prior to, yes. And so I heard him interview and I'm like, man, so I learned some more. Then I did some more search and then I started listening to Mike Smith, you know, the Mike Tech Show. And then I heard like all the like Windows Weekly, Security Now. Yes. I'm not forgetting a whole bunch of them. Admin podcast is another one. And next thing I know, I was listening to these and I was learning so much. And I was like, wow, I'm picking up so many great tips, to the point where, you know, something inside you kind of talks to you a little bit. And it says, man, you have a lot of, you know, you've been in the business a while. You should do one of these things. And even my wife said that. She's one of these things. She won't say nothing unless she really feels it. Right. So when she says something, that really kind of hit me pretty hard. But I'm a very private person, believe it or not. And so I kept suppressing it. I just pushed it down. I said, nope. I don't know if I'm ready for something like a commitment like that. Because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to commit to it. So fast forward about 6 months. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. I researched the best I could. And I had to put together a website and equipment and figure out how the heck to do this thing. And the rest is history. And it's almost been 2 years.
Now, you've done such a pretty good job. And if you'll take a look in the chat there, I put a link in where you have been mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
On a site. 21 sysadmin influencers, bloggers, and geeks to follow.
No, I saw that. I thought that was really cool. because all of a sudden my Twitter's like, you got all these notifications, but where am I getting all these notifications from? And next thing I know, I saw where people were referencing this article. And
yeah. So folks, that will be in the show notes, and it gives a synopsis of 21 people that you should be listening to, just so that you know, I'm not on that list.
So that's sacrilege.
Don't worry about that. Trust me. But you are number 10 on the list. I don't know if the list is like, you know, from, you know, that's listen to this person, you know, and then down to 25. But just the fact that you're on the list is pretty good for somebody that's had a podcast for less than 2 years. Doing a good thing there.
Well, thank you, Marvin. Coming from me, that means a lot too, because like I was telling you before, first and foremost, I'm a fan of your show. I'm a genuine fan of your show. And
are you a fan of all the shows?
Well, I've been listening.
Let me get to the chase. Did you like the Star Wars show?
I did.
Oh,
I did, because I'm a big, I know it's so funny. It's like, because I get heat from the guys at work. I know very little about Star Trek, except for like the blatant obvious things.
Right.
But I'm a big Star Wars nut. Like I know Star Wars. I feel pretty good. I mean, say I'm not the, from a knowledge standpoint where they can, to the detail of some of these people can get, but I'm pretty comfortable. I can hold a conversation with just about anybody with Star Wars. But Star Trek, I know like just basics. So okay. I get heat from the other community. So I know how you feel about the Star Wars side, because I get that on the Star Trek side.
Well, it's interesting. So I just, you know, I'll go ahead and spill the beans here. So I've got a couple of shows with Brad coming up where I've watched the second released, which is number 5.
Empire Strikes Back.
And
which is my favorite of all of them.
That's your favorite?
That's my favorite out of all the Star Wars movies. Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
Oh, I would have thought Return of the Jedi would have been most people's favorites.
For me, from the Empire Strikes Back, and then A New Hope, and then A Return of the Jedi.
Okay. So
as far as what I like the best.
Right. So Return of the Jedi is probably the one I've seen the most clips from over the years. I've never watched it from start to finish. So That one I have to watch from start to finish.
It's a long movie, actually.
Oh, don't say that.
So if you do it, you got to be committed. give yourself a couple hours.
Because I just was flipping through. So this past weekend, so I kind of got ahead of myself. I was supposed to watch them in order.
Oh, yes.
But this weekend had two in a row on. I think they had three, but I must have missed the first one. So they had, what was the one? They had, these were the prequels. So I can't remember.
So they won a Phantom Menace.
That's the one with Liam Neeson that I did not see.
Okay.
So it was the one after that,
that's probably the most hated one.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones is the second one.
And then the next one where...
Revenge of the Sith.
Yes, that was the one. And I watched almost all of that, but I was flipping between football, so I wasn't paying attention because I knew I would watch it in its entirety later. Mm-hmm. And so... I'm happy that it explains some things, but I'm unhappy that it kind of doesn't explain some things, if that made sense.
And that makes perfect sense, actually.
So, and I will say this. So, I'm sorry. So I'm watching, spoiler alert, if you guys haven't seen these, well, first of all, shame on you. Okay. So
he said spoiler alert.
So I'm watching where Obi-Wan is fighting Anakin. And I'm trying not to give too much of the scene away, but I'm going to have to, because basically Anakin is like burning. So my wife, you know, first of all, she's not watching it with me. So that ain't happening, but she's walking by. And she's like, what? And so I'm telling her, I'm like, oh, yeah, this happens. And so this will explain this earlier and this will explain this later. And she's looking at me like I'm an idiot. And then the one thing that I remember from years ago is when I found that James Earl Jones,
the voice,
was the voice of Darth Vader. And then they pull off and I'm like, well, this is how he becomes black. She looked at me. that was yesterday.
This is how it becomes. I will use that one. Well, it's different seeing a perspective because you're watching it as they came out, and whereas instead of watching from episode one on, you're actually watching them as they were theoretically released to theaters,
right?
That's an interesting take. Try to be, I guess as fans would in the back would have watched them. So I can see your logic.
Yeah. So that's, and because I wanted to watch them in the way that they were intended and released. Mm-hmm. Because now granted, the questions that I have are the questions you would have had back in, 76, 79 or whenever they came out, 82. Well, because it's weird, because again, she comes in and she's like, wait a minute, aren't they brother and sister? And I'm like, yeah, but they don't know it now. And trying to explain that is kind of funny.
It is funny.
So, all right. So, man, as Jeff would say, squirrel.
It is all good.
Yep. All right. So I was going to go back. So I was going to ask you some questions. So not only did you start the podcast and you're being recognized as somebody who's doing a very good job, you're imparting knowledge. One of the things that I've noticed when I listen to your show is you go pretty in detail with explaining, all the concepts of what you're doing when you're talking about VLANs and firewall setup and workstation management. And all of those things, if you're talking about workstations, from onboarding to management to offboarding, even where most people, nobody gets to offboarding because we hope we don't ever have to, but you brought that up.
That's a big security. I mean, because something to think about is, because one of the things I've been getting, matter of fact, I got an email today stating, I'm not sure how much I played a role, but he sent me a very nice, well, thank you note saying, hey, I was just promoted from a junior admin to a to a, I guess their next level. I don't know if it was a senior admin. I forgot what he worded it, but it was a jump up into his career. Mm-hmm. And he said he used a lot of my advice and my teachings to, you know, where he learned and adapted. So his supervisors saw that and he got a promotion out of it. I'm not saying, you know, you listen to my show, you get a promotion out of it or anything like that, but that really made me feel incredible. And it's those details where, yeah, I didn't think about offboarding something or offboarding accounts or offboarding and trying to put, what I'm boiling down to is trying to put those details and those perspectives, well, maybe people are just not thinking about normally, and just bringing it to light and just hopefully it's helping people out.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying, because I've had people that have, you know, come to me and said, hey, I listened to this show and that got me thinking and I did this and now, you know, my business has gone this route, or, you know, I've made more money because of that one little tip and stuff. And, you know, those were the things that got me involved in the podcast community. It was something where, like you, sports, you know, so I didn't have time to listen to podcasts. I did listen to sports radio a little bit, but pretty much just Jim Rome is all I listened to, really.
Jim Rome.
and then I had the other stuff that I did, but it was something where I happened to be looking for something. And the title of a podcast, I'm like, okay, well, I wonder if this answers it. And I listened to it and I said, okay, well, no, it didn't answer it, but it taught me something else.
Exactly. That's how it started with me.
All right. So let me go back and listen to some more. And that's kind of how I got into it, where I'm like, okay, there are people out here that, you know, are doing exactly what I'm doing. They're having the same questions I'm having, and they're helping each other out by providing tips and software and things like that. So I'm like, all right, so I'll start paying attention. So that's what I did. And that's where we are.
And trying to, and one thing I tried to adapt with mine is really take real world experiences, you know, cut through all the other, lack of a word, BS, I guess, and just like, this is how it works in the real world. These are the, and this is the reason why this works in the real world. And these are the reasons why you don't try to do it this way. And, but don't just say it, but actually put some material, some merit behind it. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I try to do is break the history down. Like if we're talking about actor director, I said, you know, one of my episodes, probably one of my most downloaded episodes with Actor Directory is I broke down the history and why Microsoft did what came from NT, why Microsoft developed Actor Directory, what did it solve? Why is it done this particular way? And so you kind of get your brain thinking and say, okay, I'm kind of figuring it. I get it now. I'm trying to figure out why it is this way, other than it's just that way because that's the way it is. Right. So you kind of learn. And so I try to adapt those principles in to my episodes. And so far, it seems to be working, I guess.
So here's a question, and this was not in your debrief, your pre-show packet.
Uh-oh.
So do you get emails from, I'm going to say, new techs that probably, what's the best way to describe this? You know what? To heck with being PC. So do you get questions from techs questioning what you say, as if to say, well, that's old, and why would you do that? Why don't you get up with the times? And why do you think you know so much, or anything like that? I mean, do you get that sometimes after some of your shows?
I've only had it once.
Oh, okay.
And matter of fact, is actually, I'm trying to think, it was in my earlier on, and it was talking about VMware. And matter of fact, you can see the comment in the on my website. It's the one that we talk about VMware, and I know it's VMware related because we're talking about, I'll just stating the reasons why you would want to use VMware and just different build structures or different ways of thinking about, you know, designing a VMware infrastructure.
Right.
And
was that the one in, that was not too long ago, right?
No, this was a while back.
Oh, you're talking, okay. Cause you talked about VMware just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, no, this was probably one of my very first VMware episodes. And I'm trying to remember the context of it now, but I think it was something where, basically he thought SANs having a storage area network or SANs was just, you should never need them at any level. Really? and that you could get away with just one server with local storage and VMware. And I was telling him, I said, yeah, that's fine in certain aspects, but if you're getting to where you're getting SQL and you get load balancing, you got redundancy and you're trying to, you know, I just spit it all out.
Right.
And I think he rebutted, and then I rebutted back one last time, but, you know, taking the high road and just typing up everything and, you know, putting my merit, putting the reasons why I did it. But that's the only one I ever had. I don't know if, again, that's just luck. I haven't had any trolls, if that's what you're, another way of putting it. But so far so good. And I've had just people, a massive amount of just thank yous. And this has really helped me. And how about you do a show about like show topics? How about if you do a show about this? I would love to hear your viewpoint on XYZ.
All right.
And, but I've been very fortunate so far. Now they're going to hear this and I'm going to get
emails. I'm going to say you're in the pod next community now. So the trolls are going to follow you now.
But you, so. Know, you know, you did put a comma. Huh?
So, yeah. Cause, yeah, it's funny. It's there. I mean, most of it, it's not horrible, you know, but a lot of times there are technicians that simply will not see the full view. You know, they may have worked in one particular area of networking that just, you know, doesn't work in another area of networking, you know, in a sense of, you know, I know that a lot of times when I will talk about how I do networking for my clients, and I have to always tell people, the majority of my clients are law firms. The majority of the software they use is, for lack of a better phrase, legacy software. Mm. They have to run on servers, physical servers. And a lot of techs are like, why are you still doing physical servers? Do everything virtual. I'm like, you know what? It would be nice. But for that particular area, it doesn't work yet. There are some people that have made it work, you know, by either taking an entire environment and throwing it up into a data center, but it's still physical in the data center, but yet they'll have the people connect remotely. Mm-hmm. You know, there's ways around it and stuff. So it is interesting to hear different perspectives on how you should do things. And unfortunately, we are still, I don't want to say we're still in the wild, wild west of tech, but there's still a lot of ways you can do things, and there's not some standardized, you know, if you were to go to the automotive industry, you know, to take iCar training, you know, there may be 5 auto manufacturers, but for the most part, everybody puts in a carburetor pretty much the same way.
And Marvin, we were actually, I think a couple weeks ago, we had a phone call. Mm-hmm. And something I think we did a real brief call. I mean, real brief discussion is that you're absolutely right. There's, even though tech A is going to take road A to fix a problem, and tech B is going to take road B to fix a problem, the problem might be fixed, but one could take twice as long. One could do it, but be unsecure, even mm-hmm. though it's quote unquote fixed from the user's perspective, meaning user clicks button, gets reaction. But behind the scenes, it could be very unsecure or not compliant or just whatever. Like I said, we have standardizations with like network protocols. Like you have to follow an OSI model layer. You have to follow certain, you know, protocols. But there's no really standardization on how to completely implement things or put in a network or build a network or design a network. To a point. I mean, yet that you have some standardization to a certain level, but you could have had a physical, or you could have virtual, or you could have put it up into Azure or AWS, or you could, all four would work fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's pros and cons to everything. Mm-hmm. Money, budget's one of them. Security is, you know, obviously a high level topic. But unfortunately, yeah, there's not a book to where you have to follow these codes that are developed, you have to do it this way, right, or it won't work.
Yep.
But it's very true. Wild West. I'm going to use that. I agree 100% with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where we are along the spectrum, but if you think back, you know, into the history of America, yeah, we had that Wild West where pretty much, you know, you just, cowboys just went out and, you know, staked their claim of a land and defended it. And, you know, you didn't have the same rules as you did inside the city, you know. And then as you kind of moved west, the rules changed. And then as they, you know, moved into the industrial age, you know, and modernization, I mean, there's, you know, I think the tech industry, we're now moving into that industrialization area, but there's still a lot of Wild Wild West stuff out there. I mean, there are still so many companies that can affect how we do things, whether it's, you know, components being manufactured for PCs, the types of switches, the types of software. There's so many things. And of course, a lot of them work.
Well, one thing I think we're seeing, and you talk about like the industrial age, and to me, that's the hosted data centers, like the Azures and the AWSs that are out there, is, and everything starts at the enterprise and kind of trickles its way down to the SMB market. But this has changed so much, whereas now the SMB can be on the same infrastructure as a Fortune 500 business. You have level playing fields. And by using like Azure and AWS, you kind of have to follow a cookie cutter to a point. Even though you do have a lot of customizations of what you want to do, you still have to kind of follow how they want you to set these things up. And that kind of forces you, in a sense, to kind of do things the right way.
Right.
Lack of a better term. And I think we're starting to see that right now. Talking about a law firm with something very similar, there's a program, the weirdest name of a program called Needles.
Oh yes, Needles.
And very simple, but we it was a small law firm. They had a server that was like 12 years old. And so what we did, we just turned them up a server in Azure, through Needles on it, through terminal services on it, and they just get it that way, and it works great for them. It's really literally three people. It's very small. But you're talking about the software. I can totally relate to that.
I can't tell you the stories that I'm dealing with now, where I've got law firms that they're now getting to the point where they're outgrowing their software. And when you're talking, you know, 100 plus users, and you've got to all of a sudden change your software, well, we're talking about there may be an infrastructure change. So it's going to be interesting that my next year with this, at least two of these companies, that they're getting to the point where they're going to have to change their software. They're demanding too much from it. And the software is basically, I mean, I don't case want to say management. It's, huh?
It's just purely case management.
Yeah, case management.
Yeah, but they want more like CRM type capabilities mixed into it, and more accessibility.
You know, they want to be able to do everything, you know, to the point now where case management just simply was, you know, your CRM, where you had your case information, your contact people, and that was it. Well, now you've got your document management is built into that. So you go into your case and you got your documents from inside the case, which are linked to a completely different file system, because the storage is not inside the case management system, in this case, SQL. Right. So you've got your cases that are, you know, your Word docs, your PDFs. Well, now you have document assembly, where, you know, you got to get ready for a trial. So you're going to document assembly, you know, all of your Word and PDFs into one file system, so you can go into court with that stuff.
Yeah, because that's one thing I learned. We have like two law firms that we deal with, and they're smaller firms, so not to the level that you have with yours. I just say industry, we don't want to do it, it's just not part of our clientele. But one thing I learned is when you go into the courtroom, you're very limited of what you can bring in there with you. I don't think you can bring a full laptop or something. I can't remember, but
depends on the court.
Right.
There are some, at least here in Florida, there are some where, yeah, you can walk in with, you know, a full, you know, they've got their laptop, projector, wireless printer.
Yeah, I don't think that here it is here in Virginia, because I remember that's one thing. It's like, I can't, you know, they don't allow VPN. They don't allow certain things. You just either you have to physically bring it in paper, mm-hmm. or you have to get it over port 443 and that's it. That's all they allowed, or something along those lines. And that's where the terminal services worked out beautifully yeah. for him. So that he's tickled pink about that.
It's pretty funny, because there are some times where they'll go into court and the judge is like, no, you can't bring that in here. But people are like, oh, what am I going to do?
Oh, no.
You know, it's like, put it on a thumb drive and bring it in. And wow. that's it. And then, of course, you've got some courts that are still working on the maximum size of an attachment. It's 5 megs.
Wow. 5 megs. Usually 10 was the old standard. So yeah, they're only 5 megs.
There are still some with 5. And it is so.
How do you get around that?
They have to split up their documents.
Okay, so you like use like a WinZip and split up your yep, file, and then re-put it. Oh wow, yep. What a pain!
It is. It is hilarious. So yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's a wide range. That's what I mean. That's one of the problems is you've got, you know, some judges that are just like, you know what, I'm not dealing with technology, and you've got some court systems where, you know, everything's got to be electronically filed, and. Hmm. You know, and actually I've got a law firm where they're getting their entire case files. They're not sending, you know, CDs or DVDs anymore. They're like, no, you download it. And if the client doesn't have sufficient bandwidth, they're like, tough luck, get it.
So. Go to a friend's house that has faster internet.
So it is funny.
It is, times are changing.
Yep. So you had mentioned earlier, I'm going to go off topic again.
That's fine.
Just because I want to.
I'm enjoying myself.
This got me thinking of a client. I'm like, I don't want to talk about them. you mentioned that it was a lovely Monday. And yes. Folks, yes, we are recording on a Monday.
Yes.
So my Monday, I'll go to another story. So I moved a customer this past weekend. Actually, I installed their internet and phones on Thursday, and they moved on Friday, and Saturday, everything went down in my portal. So I had to go out today thinking that, okay, did the battery backup fail? Did the internet fail? What happened? No, get there. They're working just fine, but they're like, well, yeah, we have no internet and phones. So my favorite internet service provider,
Comcast,
the most Comcastic company of all.
Horrible.
Their brand,
I'm not even going to play around. They're horrible.
Their brand new modem failed after 48 hours. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me.
And of course, in where I live, we deal with, because we have customers all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I literally deal with every major ISP there is out there. The Level 3, Cox, Time Warner, Comcast, Windstream. I know I'm forgetting a whole bunch of out there.
Yeah,
Lumos. There's a ton. And by far, Comcast is one of the absolute worst I've ever dealt with.
But they have the best commercials. If you want,
well, I don't even see the commercials.
If you want fast, reliable internet,
it's so much. It's just the service. Like, for one, they don't just put in a modem. So one thing that I look, because we don't deal with them day in and day out. We had a customer that we were switching out their router, their firewall, and so we were going to just ship them because they needed to get. It's a faster connection, and we talked to. They actually had a list on the website. These are the modems we support.
Right.
So we bought the modem. This is a DOCSIS 3.1 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Shipped it to them. We had a tech on site. Just so happened to be on site there. Cabled everything in, called up Comcast, said, no, you have to use one of ours, and we can't use this. But like, it's on your website. It's supported. No, but it has to be ours. And they just refused to activate it. So fast forward a day or two. A tech comes on site and they don't just have just the regular modem. They will, in a business environment, they just don't put in a it has to be the freaking one with the router, right, the router wireless,
built-in Wi-Fi. And yep.
We're like, and all other ISPs I deal with, they'll comply. You just can put a pure modem. No, they absolutely refuse to do it. And of course, you had to put it in bridge mode. And then you talk to a tech that didn't know, you couldn't spell bridge, let alone put it in bridge mode. And it's just one thing after another, whereas most ISPs, I'm on the phone, 10, 15 minutes done. Here, it took us 4 days. And that's just one of many examples.
Yes, they are my favorite provider of all time. They, exactly what you say, they, and it's funny because not every area is the same. There are some where they're, oh yeah, no problem. You can put in your own thing. And yeah, we'll do it in bridge mode. We'll turn off the Wi-Fi, except the next, as soon as they do an update, your Wi-Fi is turned back on. So,
it's frustrating.
So
I hate, from a business environment, why in the world, this gets me hot. Why in the world would, if a customer says, you know, I got my own router, my own stuff, just give me the modem, that they can't do that. Why are they going to put that piece of crap all in one, sorry, router, combo unit, whatever you want to call it, in there? I get it.
You know
what
part of it is? You know what part of it is the techs will only install what they carry. So if they are out of the modem that you want, then it's whatever they have on the truck. Now, I finally got somebody to tell me that down here one time, because I'm like, well, then no, you reschedule if we have to. I don't care. We're not putting that in the environment.
For reliability alone, it's worth it. It's worth it in spades.
It is, especially if, now, I don't know if you've had to worry about this, but down here, I've had to worry about business customers getting residential gateways installed.
Business customers getting the residential equipment. That should never happen.
No, it shouldn't, but it does all the time, because you know what? What business customer is going to know unless we're there to tell them?
But it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't.
It's just ridiculous. And the problem is that it's such a monopoly bureaucratic system that they're like, what are you going to do? Get internet somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good luck. You can go ahead and pay, you know, $1,200 a month to get dedicated fiber in your area, if it's available.
If, because even for me, it's not.
Right.
And my option is AT&T DSL.
Oh, God. Was that U-verse or something? That's what they call it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my only other option. Although, we talked about where my house was.
Right.
1,000 feet that way, I can get AT&T fiber.
Wow. Do you have that at your home?
I don't, actually.
Okay. I was just curious.
I don't have a need for it, although I so want to get it, and I want to. So what I want to do is get the fiber at the house, drop the Comcast cable, and then do my cord cutting and do YouTube Live, Hulu Live, Netflix. What's the other one out there? Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Prime.
Because I'm still going to pay half of what I'm paying Comcast and get better, reliable, faster service with the fiber. And I can run all that stuff. So as soon as I can convince the wife to do that, we're doing it.
I'm with you. But I think, Marvin, from all my sources and from what I've been hearing, because they're not really putting a lot of money into the fiber or into the wired. It's all going, they're pushing wireless hard.
Yes, they are.
And with Verizon, with the 5G, whatever they want to, that just got released. That's the future, I think. I it's going to be to where you're going to, it will be taking a step back, because we're going to be to the point where you'd put them big antennas to get your over the air. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to get your regular, if you didn't have cable back in the, like, I didn't grow up with cable. It's going to be like that. You have to put an antenna in your building to run into your firewall to get the wireless communications.
Yep.
I mean, I don't see that happening within, like, that's your only choice within a few years or nothing. That's way down the line, but that's everything I'm seeing.
It is. And, you know, Comcast is trying to get the jump on it, because that's what they're doing with their little Comcast hotspots, is every modem they put in becomes a hotspot. And so they can light up an entire city and you'll be on the Comcast network, whether you like it or not.
Even in some municipalities, they're actually ISPs are working with the local city government to put hotspots in like school buses, not so much the school buses be using, but just to transmit is running around
right.
Police cars, all the fire stations, you know, all the different precincts and everything to have it all around and just have a big network just using their public utilities and or public vehicles. So it's interesting.
Yeah. All right, squirrel.
I told you before we started, we would be just going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, yep. I think.
So I want to make one quick stop back onto what we were really talking about, and that was your show. Mm-hmm. Because I do want to let listeners know that the website you put up, again, something you've done fantastic.
That's my first ever website I ever did.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious. YouTube has been amazing learning this stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. And templates. And of course, you had to kind of go on there and do things, but the framework's basically done for you.
Yeah. If you do that. But what I want to say is you have not only all your episodes there, but you've got this resource tab that all the stuff that you've talked about from all of your checklists. And all of your overviews and your information, even describing DNS record types and Azures and all of that stuff. Folks, if you want to go to one place and get a lot of the information you need, this might be a good place for you to go and get a lot of that information. So, even something like delete temp files code.
It's simple, but it's effective,
just a little removal script. Yeah.
I need to add more to it. I've been, I need to get some more, I got some more good stuff to put in there. I've actually had some people email me, some really good scripts that, say, hey, this is what I use to do X, Y, Z. I've vetted most of them. I'm like, man, these are great. I need to get those on there as well and put credit to, who did it. But yeah, it's so far so good. Yeah.
All right. Now, question I had, you've got the very first one on there is the maintenance checklist guide. And yes. So I opened that up and took a look at it. And I'm like, okay, very nice, very substantive. And I'm thinking, okay, that's a lot of stuff here. So first question is, do you follow your own checklist?
I do. I really do.
And yes. How do you verify and audit it with, like, I'm assuming you have this for your technicians as well, right?
Yeah. Well, we have a split up. We have it in our system, our different, that's actually one thing I've been working really hard on because we're kind of reinventing the wheel. My company is switching PSAs.
Okay.
So we're going from an Autotask environment to a ConnectWise automated environment. Mm-hmm. And so we're switching all this stuff back over, but, we have automatic tickets and work orders that come up for verification of these services. We have really good documentation in our documentation system that we have to follow with timestamps. As a matter of fact, we will reject things because if we have a stain in our business, if it's not documented, it didn't get done. And so we make sure that everything gets followed to the letter. And we have, and these are for our retainer customers, our service block customers that allowing us for this, because a lot of our customers are part of different compliances that this has to be done. Right. It's not like a question of, do I want to do it? It has to be done. Like all the firmware checks and all the, even down to the switch level and validations and certain key logs and ARP table, make sure you're defining what MAC addresses are not on what systems and onboarding, where's this rogue device? Make sure you don't have a pineapple somewhere running,
right? Yeah,
behind the seed somewhere. So it's a team effort for sure.
So these are all things that pop up within your PSA.
Yes.
On the regularly scheduled interviews, whether it's,
yes.
Now, you got a ton of daily stuff on here. I shouldn't say a ton. You've got a few daily things on here, but the daily stuff really is checked that much.
I say half of our businesses have like an own person to do the day-to-day stuff. So what we have is we have split it up. So for like the dailies, we have personnel that do a lot of the day-to-day stuff for some of our customers, and they fill this out. Matter of fact, that we utilize SharePoint a lot. So just about every customer we have use SharePoint. So we have customized lists that go in and validate because it has versioning, who did it, when it was done.
Right.
SharePoint does all that, just basic framework. And the stuff that we do, we still do it in their SharePoint, just so the documentation is on their side.
Right.
Along with the time that we put in. So that's how we manage it between the day-to-day. And like I said, we have a technician that just basically, that's all he does all day long.
Okay. All right. Because that is something nice to have is, not just the checklist, but the verification that the checklist got done.
Right.
And as you said, if it didn't get documented, it didn't get done.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
And that's a battle I'm having with the HIPAA people because, they want to say they're HIPAA compliant. They want to get their MIPS money, but they're like, do we really have to do this? And I'm like, yes, you do. Because if I have to sign my name to it, then that means it has to be done and it has to be done right because I'm not losing my business or I'm not getting fined because you didn't want to follow your own policies.
Yeah, as odd as it sounds, cause I know HIPAA is pretty popular or a popular topic for techs because even if you might not be in the medical field, but you might support a medical field, which you kind of grandfathered into that HIPAA. But we has one area that we don't really have any customers that I don't have to deal with HIPAA at all.
Good.
Yet. Good. I say yet because I'm sure it'll come down the road. But we've been very fortunate in that because I know that's just a, I don't say so much a headache, but I think it's just a constant pressure on the IT personnel. Just because it's just, if you get any type of, I guess, flag or you fail to do this or something, it's just, I can imagine just the pressure of that's got to be pretty immense.
It can be. And what's funny is, I mean, I've only got two pure medical clients. The others that I'm having to deal with are law firms that happen to be either in the insurance defense. So they're dealing with the insurance companies who are turning around and putting their security policies on the law firms. And okay. I've got actually an attorney office that I'm going to have to, after Thanksgiving, I got to spend a couple of days. We actually have to create policies for them because they actually had a bank come to them and say, okay, we need you to implement these things or else we're going to pull our cases from you. And he's like, yeah, I got to do what? And we filled out the initial questionnaire and it was, a lot of it's just even the simple stuff like, do you train your employees? Do you do background checks? Do you have complexity in your passwords? That sort of thing. And I have to, I had to tell them, I said, okay, you know what this means? This means that, everybody can't know everybody's password anymore. And just something that simple. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, okay. We'll baby step it now. And then I'll take care of the other stuff because we're going to have to, VLAN your Wi-Fi now. Cause right now it's a small office. It's 10 people and right. They're like, whatever, we'll just do this. And, now that I'm back supporting them and they have to do this, now I come in and say, okay, yeah, we're going to put in managed switches. We're going to, redo all your passwords. We're going to, encrypt your data on your servers. And they're just like, oh, but at least I'm not the bad guy.
Right.
The bank took care of that for me.
Yeah. And I get it. I mean, I always try to put myself in the business owner's shoes and it's scary from them because just like, oh my gosh, this is going to cost me an absolute fortune to do this. But having somebody like us saying, well, it's going to be some money, but it's going to be spent correctly. You're not going to overspend. You're not going to underspend. And it's going to be done the right way, which is going to save you money. Again, because you're not going to have to repeat yourselves with another team I screwed up. We should have did it like you said, Marvin, and did it this way. But it's getting just dealing with those business owners. It's a fine science.
Well, that's always, because it's always, well, what's the least amount we can do to follow what they say. And luckily for this particular client, well, they gave us all the guidelines, you know, because a lot of, you know, especially HIPAA, I think the reason that HIPAA is such a popular topic is because HIPAA is vague. You know, they'll say,
I'll take your word for it. I haven't studied it.
Because they'll say, well, you need to, you know, secure your email. Well, you know, that's it. There's really no, you know,
type of encryption, how you encrypt, no endpoint encryption, no web service. Well, does encryption has to be end to end, or does it allow for, can you go to a web portal like some people do? You know, the email sent to a web portal, the user goes to the web portal. Like I know banks don't allow that anymore. They don't even do that in type of encryption anymore. They don't, so it has to be end to end encryption.
Right.
I see what you mean though with the vagueness.
And that's the problem is, so, you know, so somebody comes along and says, oh, well, we can use this free encryption over here or this free secure. You know, or, you know, then there's text on, no, you can only do it this way. And it can only, there's so many different ways you can do it, because in the bottom line of it is when HIPAA or OCR comes to look at a client for a possible breach or whatever, the translation comes out to what is reasonable for this client. You know, if you're a
reasonable, really? Yeah.
Because, because here's the thing. If you're a small, let's say for me, I'll just say for me, for law firms, you know, I've got a 2-attorney firm, 2 secretaries, and, you know, they want to be secure because of either their bank or their insurance client. So all the stuff that is reasonable for them would be stuff like make sure you have your passwords, you know, secure, make sure they're changed regularly. Yeah, you know, if you have remote access, make sure it's secure VPN remote access. Make sure your data is encrypted. Make sure your drives are wiped. You know, they may say, okay, that may be reasonable. Whereas if you're, you know, 100-person law firm, well, what's reasonable for the 100-person law firm in terms of dollars and management is much different than the, you know, 2-person law firm.
Absolutely.
Because the 100-person law firm can afford nice, robust firewalls now with intrusion prevention. And, you know, you've got your global VPN clients built in and your secure VPN tunnels from office to office. Your smaller law firm, now it's getting better because we can now provide them with that type of protection. But, you know, for instance, I guess the best way to describe it is, do they get a SonicWall Soho firewall, or do they get a Cisco, you know, 3200, you know, firewall? You're not going to force the smaller law firm to get to the, you know, top of the line firewall. Well, they just need something smaller that will provide them protection.
Sure.
And that's what it is. So that's where the vagueness of HIPAA comes in, to where technicians want to come in with one, you know, these are the firewalls I support, this model. So the small firm's going to get it and the big firm's going to get it. And the small firm's like, well, I can't afford that. Well, then you can't be HIPAA compliant. You know, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's so wrong. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
That's criminal, actually, I think. Because you're for, that's, yeah, that's just terrible. So you, I mean, that's the day in the life of HIPAA. And in it's
a day in the life of HIPAA.
That's horrible.
Because remember, too, some agencies can actually document, well, we don't need to have. So, for instance, here's my one medical firm that we just had to do a modification because we initially set them up to where every user that had email also had secure mail, which is a separate application on top of their regular email. So they could have the option to send, you know, regular mail, and then they would click, you know, send secure. Well, the doctors never sent email to patients. So they didn't want the secure mail. So we actually had to document that the doctors weren't getting secure mail. Then it turns out the doctors don't have any email. So the client, because they have access to the email portal, they actually went and deleted a whole bunch of accounts. And I happened on one of my regular checks. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to all the, and I said, oh, well, the doctors didn't want them. I said, okay, you know, I got to document that. And so,
So the client, when you say the client, you're saying the end user, like the patient?
The patients. Well, not the patient. No, not the patient. I'm talking about my client, the medical office.
Right, the personnel with it. Okay, gotcha. They have access, and then they deleted something without being documented as to why and when they were doing such a thing.
Right.
Hmm.
And from their perspective, well, why should we have to? I'm like, because you have to. If something happens where a patient says, "Well, the doctor sent me this," and it turns out, and I don't have any way of knowing when the email was sent, you know, outside of the patient saying, "Here's my email. It was sent on this day," and then I got to go back in and come to find out I don't have a log that the doctor didn't have an email account. I mean, I can go back to my email provider and grab that, but it's still going to come down on me as to, well, why didn't you know? Aren't you supporting them? Aren't you taking care of them? Well, I'm supposed to, but, you know, client wants to manage themselves to save some money.
Yeah, I could just... Well, because what it boils down to, Marvin, the way I'm translating in my brain is the culture. Mm-hmm. You're going to have from the management perspective, either that culture is going to be strong and say, this is how we do it and pass that on down, trickle down to the employees and nope, this has to be done this way. Or the culture is like, nah, we're going to just cut corners. We're going to eke by, screw it. I even pay the penalty. I don't even care type thing. Yeah. And of course, and that attitude trickles down towards, it's just like anything else.
It does. It does. All right, let's get off that topic. We could talk forever on that stuff. And actually, Marvin, we're over the hour, so.
I was going to say, Marvin, I've written down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things, and I don't think we've talked about one of them. We might have to.
Sounds like another show.
I was going to say, it sounds like another show we might have to.
All right, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we go ahead and take a break here? And we will schedule another time to come back and let me know what those 9 things are. And that way I'll know to get to them instead of letting us go down these rabbit holes.
Oh, no, I've enjoyed it. I knew this was Marvin, I just wanted this to be a relaxed. We just talk, shoot the bull, and just because really it's the first time we really get a chance to know each other, too. And we're so like minded. How we came up and what we do for a living, and it's been fun. Like was it Matt Rainey, your other I enjoy the shows where y'all just basically do this, you just reminisce and shooting the bull, and those are very for me, they're very, very entertaining.
They are. And Matt, just to let everybody know, Matt will be back on a show soon. We actually were supposed to have him on a show recently, but Matt's had a little water trouble in his life recently. So if listeners remember earlier, he had a flood in his office.
No.
And they had some issues. Well, apparently he had some sort of a flood in his home.
Oh, gosh.
He's been with that. So I don't know, a levee broke or something. I don't know.
Jeez,
but, I will be doing some stuff with Matt. Maybe I think we might have just a little quick "What Would Matt Do" section coming up, and then I'll get him on maybe for a holiday special here before Christmas. But that's where we are with Matt, and he will be back. But Paul, I want to say thank you for being on the show, and I will be sure to put in the show notes a link to your podcast page, the SysAdmin Today Show.
And excellent. Thank you.
Folks, just remember I said to go over there, look at the resource tab, and glean all that knowledge there. I mean, there's a lot of checklists there. You even have a HIPAA section.
I do?
Yeah.
I don't even.
Well, actually, it's BYOD and HIPAA.
Oh, yeah, because they do relate a lot as an example for it. Yeah, I BYOD is a whole nother. Actually, I have a dedicated show for BYOD, but gosh, so many rabbit holes.
Yes, so many. But we will definitely come back and do them. And ladies and gentlemen, again, Paul Joyner from the SysAdmin Podcast. Folks, it is a great little podcast. I have actually listened to it. I can't remember how long. I think I've listened to probably a year's worth of podcasts.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That's why I could ask you about the workstation maintenance and the VLANs and the, I kind of skipped over the Azure shows and, but you talked about, what was it? You did a migrating Active Directory recently that I found interesting. I like that show.
Yep. Yeah. That was, that's been pretty popular too. That's one thing. Yeah. Cause that's nice thing about podcasts. Cause you hit a topic that you might hit a nerve where this really mean other ones might be, I might listen to it cause I'm just gonna learn something, or I have no interest in that one. I'm gonna go over to the next episode. Yeah. But I appreciate your listenership. Thank you.
All right. So folks, if you want to get your ears on another great podcast, take a peek over there again, sysadmintoday.com, and listen to Paul Joyner, who is one of the 21 sysadmin influencers of 2018. For everything else that you want to do on the show, just be sure to send me a note here, send emails to marvin@podnuts.com. You can send questions, comments, show suggestions, all of that good stuff. And anytime I put a link in the show note, be sure to click on it and use the Amazon link and support the show. You can find those over at podnuts.com. And remember, folks, Podnuts is spelled with a Z. And that's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. I will be back with Paul on another show, so be looking out for that. And hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And looking forward to a great Christmas. And until next time, folks, holla.